evening Gloucester. We're getting it in. We didn't think we were going to get it in, but we're getting it in Sunday night. Normally we tape them on Sunday mornings. We got two midweek ones, and here we are Sunday night, four in the week. Four, right? Well, you could say three.
Yeah, no, because it started a week ago Sunday, and then two midweek and this one. So within a 7 or 8 day period, it's four, yes.
Four, yeah. So we're doing good. I like this. The only thing is topics.
Yeah, well,
I think we got some good ones for today. We have some rumor.
We have some. Good morning, Gloucester. I just want to say that.
Hi, Toby.
Hi, Joe.
Toby's here. It's just two of us today. It's very intimate. Toby's drinking his red wine.
Yeah, I have a beautiful bottle of Paso a Paso Tempranillo, which is a Spanish red. That was purchased down at Savor Wine and Cheese. And by the way, 15% off till the end of the month.
15% off to the end of the month. And if you would have got one of their, cards before
the gift certs,
the gift certificates were.
You could have got it 10% off at the gift cert and then played this at 15%, you'd be buying it at basically 25% off.
So what's full retail at Savor Wine?
This is one of their pole dancers.
Oh, so $10 or less?
Yes, it's right around a pole in the store. They call them pole dancers.
So you got like $6.50 into that glass? Into that bottle?
You know, $7.50.
$7.50 into that bottle.
It is a bargain, and that's a great place, and this is a tremendous wine.
I gotta get a glass now. I got a little snifter with some amaretto rocks. It was cold out. I was just outside playing with the girls, and they love to play in the snow. And you know, I love to hear their giggling and laughter. But I don't have the love of being cold like they do. So I'm here with my amaretto warming up. That's my move. That is my move. We're at my mom's house. We're taping it. We normally tape at the dock.
Yeah.
But we're here at the dock. So I'm wondering about the echoes in here because it's like a big open space.
A different studio.
I like it though. It's good setup.
Are you kidding? Your mom's very generous to allow us to do this here.
I know. I can't shake this cold. Well, she doesn't know we're here. I can't shake this cold. I've had this cold. I've had a terrible cold. It started out with flu-like symptoms. People that have listening to the podcast have probably noticed that I sound even more nasally and horrible than I normally am. And do you have any remedies? What do you do?
I can tell you what you need to do.
Hot toddy? What is it?
No. One of the things you need to do is to consume a tablespoon of Bragg's raw, unfiltered apple cider vinegar every day. Now, I'm not saying you take it by itself. You can mix it in with a cup of tea, a juice drink on the rocks. But having a tablespoon of the raw, unfiltered apple cider vinegar every day will keep you healthier. Right. And I know that's going to sound...
Is that post?
No. This is something you should do. But I'm telling, catching up, because you have problems, I didn't want to tell you... You know, because everyone, once you get sick, everyone's telling you what to do.
Oh, man. No, I wish I
offering
had, I wish
payments.
I had a good day. The one thing that used to work, and I'm stupid for not keeping up with it, but I don't have a full stomach all the time, and I don't want to take these pills on an empty stomach. The wellness formula, Eric Lorden turned me on to it from the Common Crow. Have you?
I buy a lot of stuff at Common Crow. I like a lot of my herbs that I cook with, I buy from there because they're fresh. It's the best. That being said, I'm telling you that I got turned on, not yesterday, but within the past year, to this thing, this regular routine.
The apple cider vinegar for
raw Bragg's. I'm telling you,
right.
Just a tablespoon a day. You're not gonna believe what it makes, what difference it makes in your life.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We'll try that. I was on to this a couple days ago when Super K, she texted me a picture of a, she was at a gas station out of town, $1.99 gas. This was, I think, 3 days ago, and she was all excited. And I'm like, she's like, "What's going on?" Like, you know, in Gloucester, it was like not even close to
that. Not even close.
And then I put together some show notes for tonight, and then I asked you, you know, do you have any topics? He says, "What's going on?" And you said, "Gas prices."
Yes.
She goes, "Gloucester, like prices averaging around over 220." And
let's call it 225 if you want to be fair.
But the cheapest in Gloucester right now, 219, as high as 259. Multiple places in Beverly, $1.95.
Yeah.
That's a little
too much. I mean, I understand it costs a little bit more to transport it here.
It's not a thing.
I just don't get it.
You got like, those trucks have to hold 5,000 gallons.
I don't know.
I'm guessing anywhere from 5 to 10,000 gallons. The 12 minutes of that it takes to get further from Beverly to Gloucester on the highway is not gonna consume 20 cents times 5,000 gallons. That's $2,000. Do you get that?
So what?
Do you get that math? That would not make up for. Okay, because you're...
Regardless of the capacity of the tanker trucks, you feel, like I feel, that we're being taken advantage of?
What I'm saying is the thing that Gloucester is further away, so there's a bit more transportation costs to get it from Chelsea to... Or East Boston to Gloucester as opposed to
Beverly.
Beverly. That's if you have one of those... Say... Even if those gas transportation tanker things,
yeah, the tanker.
Even
trucks.
If it was only 2,500 gallons,
whatever it is.
If it was 2,500 gallons, 20 cents
gallons.
In difference is still $500. It's 15 minutes drive.
Somehow we're being taken advantage of, and we do not beat up on business.
Local businesses.
You know, we try
We're not pointing at any particular one. What we are saying is all of Gloucester, and Beverly, there's not just one place. There's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of places out of town that you can get gas.
And you can
for
go on Route 1 and achieve the same purpose. Sure.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on, but... I hope our local. I'd rather buy my gas. I buy my gas locally. I buy my gas at Flanagan Square because I like those people.
No, I get it.
They're good. They're fantastic service, and I'd like to continue buying my gas there. But I will be honest. Like a 20 cent difference on.
Well, I'm not going to drive to Beverly 15 miles each way.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it just to get gas. But if I'm out of town.
Right.
I absolutely will not go. I will not drive to Beverly just for a trip
for
gas. I will say
if I'm
in Beverly
for other reasons,
and I'm close to empty, I'm going to probably fill up.
Right.
So there you go. My sister sent me a site today that she found on Facebook, and this is going to be one of the craziest things. I thought it was a joke, but on this woman has this Etsy page. And she's making shorts out of vintage Afghans for men. And all these funky designs.
Do you remember something I should have?
You would look really spectacular. They are, but what I can't, so it's blowing up. It's like blowing up. This is a thing now. Like, and they're... The models that are modeling them on the website, let's say they're men, but they're very colorful, I guess we could say, these men.
How do you mean that?
They're colorful, and they're fancy.
Okay.
Okay? So I don't know if it's a thing for fancy men or just men that are very secure in their manhood, but these are like some very... funky looking shorts. What I can't understand how this could possibly take off other than the being funny kind of angle to it. Do you remember those Afghans in like that grandmas used to make back in the 70s?
Of course.
Do you remember how itchy that wool was? I mean, not yes or no.
I do understand the point you're trying to make.
They're itchy.
It's not a smooth merino wool. Right.
No. Oh, that's where I was going. You know me. Right. You know my love of merino wool and alpaca.
Oh.
Yeah. Those fibers, though, are, and to have that around your private parts because they're shorts, I can't imagine how uncomfortable that would be.
Joe, I don't go commando, so they wouldn't be around my private parts exactly.
Yeah, but they still, like those fibers, they would poke through your tidy whities or whatever, and they would itch. I'm telling you, they would. I'm thinking that they would itch. That's all right. Saying. I'm very tactile. I'm very sensitive with my.
No, I got it. Speaking about noises and tactile and all that, I'm eating some granola here, and hopefully the sounds aren't.
Yeah, that's right.
Emanating too much.
Yeah, I got it from Trader Joe's. I had the girls this weekend, and on the way back from Madeline had a shutout in soccer, by the way.
Very cool.
And so she had this injury last time. I'm not going to be this obnoxious parent talking about the kid, like 7-year-old soccer, girls soccer, like, you know, she's the next Mia Hamm. But what was fun for me, she had an injury last summer. She rolled her ankle in a game.
I remember it was a major problem in your life.
And she was doing really well in soccer, this team they have, and when she came back, she seemed like she lost a step. She was timid. She wasn't attacking the ball with as much ferocity and stuff. But she's getting her confidence back. So she was in goal for the second half, and she had about eight. There was about eight, shots on her. And what I was most proud about was when there was a bunch of opportunities when they were bearing down on her, like on a breakaway. And a lot of these girls, when the ball's getting kicked at them, they like turn their head. They're like scared to
death. They wince.
They wince. So whatever, they back off. She didn't back down once out of all eight. And she made all eight saves. And she, like, in the face of, like, you know, some up close shots and stuff. So
I mean, as much skill as it takes for every other position, I always admire the goalies, whether it be hockey or soccer.
I could not be a goalie. A soccer. I could not be. I could probably be a soccer goalie. I could not be a hockey goalie.
Just beyond
that's
belief.
Psychotic. Yeah. I mean, well, I don't. But the pads that they wear nowadays.
Well, but you still have to have confidence. The natural tendency is to wince and turn away.
I would wince. Right. I would be a wincer. I don't think I would wince at soccer, but I would wince at in hockey.
You would wince and turn away like everyone else. You're not alone, Joe. No reason to feel
hockey bananas.
But I got to tell you, to have, you know, that going on. And as far as the soccer goes, your daughter is a champ. That's wonderful that she's.
Let's put it in perspective. She's 7 years old. It's 7-year-old girls hockey, girls soccer. That being said, and. Probably all parents feel this way. Like, I could watch her games. Like, if they played, like, 24 hours, I could sit there and watch these games. And, like, I know it's just 7-year-old soccer, but I am, like, so into the games. I'm the obnoxious parent, and I, like, try to contain myself. But I, like, want to bang on the glass. Like, at the first game, I think I banged on the glass, and they told me not to bang on the glass. And I was just like, oh, my God. I can't. Like, I was so. But I'm not banging, like, in anger or anything. I'm, like, banging because I'm happy. You know what I mean? I'm, like,
no, I think it's great. I think it's tremendous. And I think it's wonderful that your daughter has a passion for something.
She's into it. Yeah. It's, and
I mean, it's passion true. Is what it's all about.
So fun. Yeah, she's into it. That's her thing. She wants to be the next
man. It's all about the passion.
So, there you go. We're going to talk about a rumor that, I mean, this is about as not, this is from not a, any kind of reliable sources. This is from at the internet, a message board, Cape Ann Online. We're not breaking this at all.
No.
But we are just repeating a rumor. So you can take it for what it's worth. On Cape Ann Online, there are people talking that Chef Paolo quit. This is the rumor now. I'm not saying this is fact. But they say he quit and is going to be gone in February. And now, do you remember when was the VIP party? I went to that party.
December 18th.
It was December 18th. That's right. Okay. So this is not a month. No, it's a little over a month.
It's a little over
a month. Now, I remember the block parties last summer. They were serving food, like the little prosciutto sandwiches in the summertime, talking about we're preparing to open this restaurant.
Right.
In the former space of
Alchemy. And it's going to be a specialty Italian. Right.
Chef Paolo was the guy.
Right.
So they had been preparing this place since last summer, opened December 18th or 21st or whatever it was. Here it is, December 25th. They're talking about February, he's going to be gone. And to
me, I don't know what the facts are.
We don't know the facts at all.
We do not know the facts.
This is all conjecture. But
understand this, that Paolo and his wife Mercedes, who is a Gloucester Rockport native, they came back here. He was working out in San Francisco. He had several, you can go online to YouTube, he had several appearances and working experiences with top restaurants in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. All right, that's a little bit, San Francisco is a little bit bigger than Gloucester.
Oh yeah.
I mean, but the bottom line is he had tremendous positive response to his work out there. I think they came back here partly due to the fact that Mercedes family is from here. They tried to find a niche for themselves, whether it would be in Beverly or Gloucester or wherever.
They did something in Beverly and it didn't work out there.
Yeah, well, but I don't know the reasons.
I'm not saying I do either. And, but this is the record that we're going. But we're going by the record that we do know is
right.
They tried something in Beverly. It didn't work out with ownership. It was a partnership there.
It was a ownership.
Ownership.
Who knows?
Partnership. Whatever. But whatever. He was no longer the chef there.
Right.
They tried to do this thing with the Serenity Group.
Right.
And if. Again, the rumor is true that he's leaving in February. I can't imagine because the whole Pannoli thing was based around this guy that had the winning pesto.
Right.
I mean, this is his menu, his vision.
Right.
Like
farm
no one
to
else.
Table.
Farm
right.
to table. This is his thing. So I don't know who takes the reins or what, but. All the fancy people, all the swells, I'm sure, and the Eastern Point people, I'm sure they're going to be heartbroken right now.
Well, there are going to be a lot of people that are going to be disappointed if, in fact, it is the case. I mean, there are only so many options if you want very special food that you usually only find in major cities. I mean, let's face it. I mean, whether it be Duckworth Bistro or Pannoli, you don't necessarily find that level, that caliber of restaurant in every little bedroom town around, you know, Boston or Philadelphia or wherever else.
Yeah, I think like Duckworth is a different animal. Like I had questions, and listen, every review that I saw from. You know, those type of people, people were raving about their experience there. I did not hear a negative review of Pannoli.
Right.
They were all glowing.
Right.
I mean, I shouldn't say all glowing. I would say 95% glowing, 5%, some people said that the portions were small. But I think nobody questioned the quality of the food. That being said, I think if you went there, you probably should have known the drill. Like it was gourmet Italian. Like, you know, you're not going to get huge portions.
Right.
But you're going to get expertly prepared, fine ingredients. And that was the thing. My question was, from the first podcast when we talked about it, was, I wonder
whether or not there's enough people to support,
if the swells and the Eastern Point people and the foodies,
it's not just the Eastern Point
and the foodies in quotation mark foodies,
right?
Will there are enough of them to support this place? And I'm not listen, I don't know if the place, maybe the place is packed every night. We don't know what the story is. This is the bottom line, and where I want to finish on this is, we wish the Serenity Group and Chef Paolo and their staff all the best.
Yeah,
like, we don't root against anybody.
If it's untrue, and they're,
the best case scenario is this is a false rumor,
right?
And Chef Paolo is happy, and the place is packed, and he's happy with his relationship with the Serenity Group and everything else. But we will know more in the coming weeks.
One of my favorite movies of all time,
Stanley Tucci.
Yes,
we did not talk about this ahead of time, but yeah,
is Big Night. I bought the movie. I love the movie, and Tony Shalhoub, Stanley Tucci. It is beyond belief. And part of that whole process of the movie is they're trying to introduce I don't want to call it gourmet, but true, authentic Italian cuisine when people only want
American.
Right. Like spaghetti and meatballs.
Like the cheap mozzarella on top of, like, chicken parmesan.
Right.
Like, you could get it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when they're joking, when somebody has something special, and they say, oh, that comes with spaghetti too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I would encourage everyone to rent, download, whatever it is, Stanley Tucci. And
they won an Oscar for that. That got a lot of acclaim.
Stanley
Tucci was like one of these guys that, like, no matter what he did, he got acclaimed
behind the scenes, not best actor.
Is this before or after Tony Shalhoub did Monk?
Same time, I think.
Really,
same time.
That was a big step. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, he.
He had his chops ahead of time, though.
Right? And Wings?
Yeah, but before that, like, you know, I think he probably had some kind of, like, you know, like, stage thing or something. Had,
oh, I'm sure. I'm just telling you, and anyone that's listening here, if you have never seen Big Night, download it.
Okay.
Buy it. It is the absolute best. Anyway,
so we're supposed to get a monster blizzard starting tomorrow.
Of Monday, epic proportions.
Epic, in quotation marks, epic proportions, starting Tuesday night.
About 5:00 drive time for us here.
Which probably, if that's the case, probably won't affect the commute too bad.
Well,
5:00, because it won't have time to accumulate that much in an hour's time.
But it's still.
But they're talking. What are the latest that you've heard? 18 to 24.
They're saying that the storm will leave between 1 to 3 feet. Now, of course,
that's a short period of time because it's supposed to end on Tuesday.
I get that. So. If I were guessing, out toward Mount Wachusett, they might get 2 to 3 feet of snow out toward Princeton, Worcester. All right, up to
295.
Up to Mount Sunapee. I think here in the coast, we're going to have 1 to 1.5 feet. We're going to have high winds, high tides. I mean, I'm going to tell you, if you own coastal property, be careful. It's not going to be a fun time.
Yeah, there's power outages and stuff.
Well, you know, I was on the city council.
The question I have is, like, what? How did 18 inches?
It could be 3 feet
in a day. Yeah, but
if,
like,
the storm
moves
compact, a little bit east or a little bit west,
that's going to be a lot
of heavy wet snow.
A lot of heavy wet snow, because 18, like. When you get that much snow, usually it snowed for 3 days and you got 18 inches. This is like, it's going to dump a lot of moisture, a lot of snow.
In a 24-hour period, it's going to be crazy. Yeah. Maybe 30 hours. As I said, I was on the city council during the blizzard of 78.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. I have some firsthand experience. It was not a fun time. Of course, the technology that we have in terms of plowing and snow removal is a little bit better than it was then. But nevertheless,
Mother Nature, you mean whatever. She's going to do what she's going to do.
She's going to do what she's going to do.
Yeah.
The bottom line is don't panic. You know, make
I think the number one thing is check on the older folks.
People that have difficulty getting around. Don't panic. Make sure you have certain things in the house. If you've got supplies for 30 days, don't worry about it.
I just spoke to someone that I may or may not have been married to for a while. She was at a Market Basket, and she said that they're out of milk already.
Yeah, people are panicking. That's the whole point. It's a 24-hour, maybe a 30-hour phenomenon. I mean, there's no need to stock up for 10 days. Just figure it out. You know, take a look in your pantry. Don't panic.
Yeah. Well, there you go, and check on the elders. The blizzard preparations. I wonder, if there's anything people should be doing right now. Are you one of these people that goes to the grocery? Have you gone to the grocery store? Today?
I go to the grocery store. No, I'm not going to go tomorrow. I've got all of that business done.
But did you do it? Did you stock up a little bit or not?
No, I didn't stock up. In anticipation of the storm.
You did go grocery shopping because
I knew that it was coming within a couple days. I made an assessment in my refrigerator, in my pantry, to see what I had, perhaps what I didn't have. Because I got to tell you, I'm going to go tomorrow, the day after, if it starts to snow, I'm going to bake cookies. Who knows what I'm going to bake? But it's going to be one of those things. I'm going to use the inside time. I'm going to play some music. I know the snow is going to be falling outside. And I'm not worried about
it. That sounds like a great time.
Well, I hope
you have power, though.
I'm sure that the power will be fine. I don't think there may be a couple isolated incidents where there's some
18 inches snowing that fast. You're gonna have heavy branches. Now that the leaves are down, you don't have.
It could happen. Yeah. I'm not minimalizing any.
Yeah.
I'm saying if you're stuck and you don't know what to do, well, put in a DVD, or you don't even have to worry about whether or not you can download.
Here's my suggestion.
Okay.
Make sure all your devices are charged, your phones and stuff are charged, and your iPads and stuff. Download them. If you're going to download any movies onto your devices, download them now. Stock up your firewood, bring it all inside to get it nice and dry, ready to go.
But as I said,
stay warm and have fun.
Yeah, stay warm and have fun. That's the key.
There you go. Do you have any? So, I am of the ilk that would like to get some. I have not got any special groceries, but I don't want to deal with the whole mess at the grocery stores. Like they said, it was crazy.
What do you want,
Joey?
They said
it was crazy today.
It was crazy, but what do you want, Joey?
I want Super Bowl food.
I want
Super Bowl food for a week leading up.
All right,
to Super
you don't
Bowl.
Want to make meatballs and sauce,
Felicia. You know what Felicia said to me today? I asked Felicia a question. I says, are you?
We're talking about Sister Felicia.
Sister Felicia. We're talking about Sister Felicia. I says. Because Donna Artazzoni brought over to her house, I think it was for the Christmas party she had or something, a crock pot. And it was like square. And it had like a little side section where you could connect it to another crock pot and they all kind of like share power and stuff. And I says, I was thinking about getting a crock pot because I don't know how to cook and stuff, but it would be nice to just throw a bunch of stuff in a crock pot. Felicia, very anti-crock pot, by the way.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that because I happen to have multiple crock pots and I love them.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. But now I don't feel so bad because, she said it's like, maybe I shouldn't say that. She's just like very anti. She's like, it's lazy cooking and the food doesn't come out that good. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I've had some decent stuff out of a crock pot. I think the best pork dishes I've ever had came out of a crock pot.
Well, one of the things that you can do with a crock pot that people who use them regularly totally understand, and I'm not saying that Felicia can't comprehend this, but since she doesn't use it, you can buy some comparatively inexpensive cuts of beef, pork, chicken, whatever. All right. I mean, and throw them in with a bunch of ingredients, and, you know, 6 hours, 8 hours later, you've got, I don't want to call it a masterpiece, but
pork some, tender, pull the oh, pork just apart.
Beautiful. Yeah. I mean, I discovered using a crock pot years ago when we were all up to the ski house, all right, and I chop, and it was clearly a situation where what I was shopping for was driven by the dollars. I wanted to save money. And we'd put everything in at 7 in the morning and put it on the timer or whatever it was, and then we'd go skiing all day, and then a person could come home. If you came home at 3 and you were exhausted from skiing and famished and needed some food, it was ready. If it turned out you didn't get back to 5 o'clock, it was still in.
What did, now, how does that work? It doesn't dry out because it's in the juices?
Well, it depends upon what you're cooking. But there are some of what they call smart pots, which just aren't on or off, whether it be low or high, that actually switch themselves back to, let's say you put them on 6 hours of cooking, and then you switch them, it automatically switches to warm only.
After 6 hours?
6 hours, or whatever you determine. Could be 5 hours, yeah, 4 hours, 8 hours.
Yeah.
It switches it back to just warm. So it will hold.
I'm completely intrigued by the whole idea of the crock pot. And I feel like I want to do it.
Well, I would not discourage you. I can tell you they're not very expensive.
Is there certain brands that are better than others?
Well, I think Rival owns the name crock pot, but there are several other slow cookers. Right. And if you spend some time on the web, you can download, if you wanted to explore, thousands of
crock pot recipes.
Slow cooker recipes.
Are there certain things that you want to look for in a crock pot, you think?
No. I mean, as I said, the so-called smart pots not only can cook it high or on low, but the key is that when they switch, when you determine you want something on only for 5 hours, it will switch just to warm, which is basically the
whole. Are there any dangers to like, you know?
No, no.
It's not going to light on fire?
Anymore. No, no.
Because, you know, the whole idea of like leaving something cooking, like when you leave the house for the day, kind of freaks me out a little bit.
No, you put it on top of the right surface, Joey. You know, it shouldn't be any issue. I mean, I don't know what the fire codes recommend.
No, I mean,
or not.
I get it, but I mean, I'm like, I people do this.
But
I mean,
I'm
this is the thing. But I just like, I don't cook. I mean, the first thing I made Caesar salad the other day.
Yeah, you did a great job.
Thank you to Craig Kimberly. Craig Kimberly was the guy. I was sitting with him.
He coached
me. He totally coached me. He's like, this is what you got to do. You got to cut that. You got to cut the lettuce. You got to get this kind of lettuce. You got to cut
romaine.
The hearts of romaine.
Yeah.
They come in 3-pack. So yeah. You cut it like 3-inch slice. You know, chop it down the thing, 3 slices.
And then you turned out to be a superstar.
But then I got the thing. I went online and I found out about the toast points. And you put the toast points on the. I put the grill.
Yeah.
So I put. I did something different though. I got the shrimps.
No. That's a Gloucester thing.
I did that on purpose because you always bust my balls about it. It's shrimp.
The plural of shrimp is shrimp.
Shrimp.
Only
shrimps.
In Gloucester here we talk about shrimps.
So I got a half a stick of butter. and I didn't have this ingredient. I had to go back to Stop and Shop and I got the jar of the minced the garlics.
Oh yeah.
The garlics. Did you get that? I was saying that on purpose.
I know.
You didn't pick up on it. But I got the garlics, the minced up garlics, and I melted the butter and I put a tablespoon of the minced up garlic in there. And then I put the shrimp and I stirred it all up. So I let it like marinate in that, and then I put the fire on the grill, cut that grill nice and hot.
Right.
And then
boom.
I didn't have skewers. If I had skewers, it would have been easier because I lost a couple through the grates.
Oh, I wish I'd known. I would have given you. I've got hundreds at home.
I messed up. So anyway, I did that. But then, so the toast points, the butter with the garlic.
Yeah.
I spread that on the toast point. It was a ciabatta, roll.
Slice this way. Ciabatta bread. So I sliced fabulous.
So I sliced it this way. Then I put the butter on it, on both sides, and then I grilled it on
two. So that was your toast point.
That was my toast point. I got that afterwards. Afterwards, I had marks on it, like it was nice and golden.
Grill marks.
And then I put it on the top burner on the thing so it would stay warm while I was cooking the thing. But I also, right when I was there, I put the plates in the fridge.
Yeah, if you're going to serve a salad, you want to chill your plates.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. A salad served on a hot plate, you might as well throw it away. I think a huge part of a good salad is you serve it on the crispy plate, the nice creamy plate.
I mean, what do you think the restaurants do?
A lot of them don't do it, though.
Well, that's the difference between, you know,
it was good.
Somebody that's paying attention. You know, the places that are taking their eye off of the ball, you know.
I got the wine glass. Oh. I put the wine glass underneath the faucet.
Who's better than you?
Then I put it in the freezer.
Yeah.
Yeah. She left me a key, so I got in the place, so I had the key,
You made it special.
So I made it special. Yeah.
Let me give you a tip for the future. If you have the so-called dry, freeze-dried or dried minced garlic,
no, I had it in the olive oil.
No, hang on. The dried minced garlic.
Yeah.
All right. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. In a jar.
Well, no. You can get it in big containers. You can get it at Costco or in the supermarkets. But I'm telling you, you can get it for short.
Are you talking about the minced one or are you talking about the cloves?
I'm talking about the minced.
Okay,
the tiny little flakes of garlic. Not powdered. Not garlic powder. Minced garlic.
Like I used, but mine was in garlic powder. It was in olive oil. You're talking about dry.
What I'm trying to tell you. Yeah. Is if you have a little jar, every now and then, a 50-50 mix. Take a scoop, a teaspoon of the dry garlics, and you put it in the jar, and you add an equal amount of water.
Water.
It rehydrates the dried flakes.
Yeah.
And you end up with something that you can cook with. It's actually a bargain as opposed to buying the small little jars of what is basically rehydrated. You know, this is somebody
in olive oil.
You can do it in olive oil too if you want. What I'm trying to tell you is, for the most part, you take the dehydrated garlic minced pieces, put it into a jar, rehydrate it with a little bit of water, an equal amount of water. Yeah. It will swell back up. It'll be something that you can use. I'm not saying it's equal to using fresh smashed garlic, but for a lot of recipes, it's all you need.
Yeah. You know what not enough places do? Do you remember back in the late 90s or early 2000s?
Go ahead.
There was the place up. They used to chop the top off the garlic and they used to roast the garlic.
Oh yeah, of course.
What was the name of that restaurant? Because there's only one place that I ever been to that did.
No. I mean, it was.
Who did it? Who else did it?
Terracotta. They'd have little terracotta cookers. They'd slice the top off the whole
garlic.
Yeah, and the bottom, they'd put a little oil on it, and they'd put it in the oven, and you'd end up being able to...
It was like garlic butter, and it was sweet.
Yeah, well, it was roasted.
You spread it on the bread.
It was roasted garlic.
Right.
You can still do that, Joe.
This is the point that I'm trying to make, but hardly anyone ever thinks to do it. We got to bring that back.
Why not?
Let's do it.
I mean, and I got to tell you something. There's certain mixes, ground olive mixes.
Tapenade.
Right, exactly the point.
Who had the olive tapenade that I freaked out about? I used to love it. I could eat it for days and days. Another restaurant that used to do that kind of thing.
Down on Rocky Neck.
No, they had a good one, but there was another one that it was even minced up even finer.
But there you go. I mean, to offer some good, crunchy, crusty bread and offer a little roasted garlic or a little olive tapenade. Oh, I mean,
talking about bread. Do you know for a chain who had awesome bread?
Okay.
Joe's American Bar and Grill.
The
bread that they
I get it.
God damn.
And tying this back into an earlier conversation, one of Paulo Loboa's emphasis here and in San Francisco has been the quality of the bread that is offered in places that he's the chef at.
There you go.
I mean, it's critical.
What are your Super Bowl plans?
Oh, are you kidding? I have some initial plans. I have some backup plans. I'm so excited about the Pats, what they have a chance to do. Look, I'm a fan. I mean, I'm a football fan, but being objective, I mean, the Pats are fabulous. Brady
master is... Master of the obvious statement, yeah.
Right. I mean, they're just great guys, fun people.
Yeah. But what are your plans?
I intend to be with some... Initially, this is my plan, to be with some friends and drink some fine wine and eat some good food. I mean, does that sound crazy?
No.
I mean, do you want me to give you the addresses?
No, are you going to Felicia's or what are you going to do? Are you going someplace else?
I have some other friends that have kind of impressed.
Are you going to be with Leif?
No, okay. I'm going to be... Anyway, go ahead.
All right. What I was going to say was I am so excited about this Super Bowl.
Oh.
And the reason I'm so excited about the Super Bowl, I am giving zero credence to the whole Deflategate. To me, this Super Bowl to me and the last Super Bowl was the same way. If they win this one, I feel like there is so much riding on this because I feel like...
I want them to shut the haters up.
Yeah, but forget about the haters because I think Deflategate is a complete non-issue. What I'm talking about is I feel like if they win this one, that I feel like it is uncontestable. And I don't care what anybody else says after this. If they win it, I think it's a huge... There's a huge thing on the line here. They're the best ever. The best ever. And I think that the best, you know, this Brady is the best. I think Brady is the best quarterback of all times.
It will
completely cement for me Brady and Belichick as the
best ever.
I will say already I think that Belichick is the best coach ever.
But I think
Brady needs to win this Super Bowl for me to say he is definitely the best quarterback ever. I think he probably is, but I think if you want to erase any doubt at all, he wins this Super Bowl. Those two guys are the best ever. And I think Bob Kraft.
I mean, it's not those two guys.
I'm saying, but they've... there's not many other people that have been on this whole run.
No, but who assembled them? Who had the vision, the dollars, Bob Kraft?
None of this gets done without Belichick.
No, I get it.
I
totally get it. But I got to tell you,
I think Belichick could win with another owner if the owner gave him complete control.
Perhaps.
I don't think the other way around. I mean, that's not to take anything away from Bob Kraft.
It's easy enough to say that, but I'm not doubting you. I'm just saying, you know, the stars aligned with the right owner, with the right attitude, Belichick being available.
Everything. The owner is everything that Jerry Jones isn't. He's just like, okay, you're the coach. I'm not making football decisions. I'm not going to try to influence you.
Right.
Like, you know, let's do the right thing and let's win championships, right?
Fabulous. Yeah. I feel so blessed as a fan to be able to be part of the whole thing.
Talk to me about your dream. It doesn't have to be this particular one coming up, but your dream Super Bowl menu.
Well,
what's the drink?
Historically. Okay, I will tell you that I'm usually a red wine guy.
For football?
Yeah, okay. But I mean, doesn't no with food.
No, we're talking about food. We're talking about the sugar. Give me the dream. Give me the dream.
We're
not talking about going out for a special dinner with a lady friend. I'm talking about the sugar.
I'm with you. I'm with you, and I'm not avoiding. What I'm saying is, I might go out and say I want that certain martini, because all I'm going to do is just have the martini and go home. What I'm trying to say is, Super Bowl means food to me. It's part of the process. Therefore, I want to accompany part of what I'm going to eat with a beverage and red wine. I love pulled pork, those kind of things, perhaps chicken wings. We know it all sounds trite, great. great coleslaw. A bean salad of some sort. I mean, I can go on and on. I know it doesn't sound Italian either. It's got to do with it's kind of part of it. If you were tailgating or in somebody's family room, I mean, it's just all the same food.
I'll say. We're supposed to have it at Felicia's.
I understand, and I know what's going
to
go on.
We're supposed to get the cooker.
I understand. No, the...
From Eric's... Jim acquired cooker. Eric, Craig Kimberly is supposed to lug it over there.
If not, I'll
The question, throw it over. We don't know with the whole storm if we're going to be able to get it over there. That's the big question mark.
It won't be a problem.
Okay.
I promise you, I will get it there for you.
So I'm going to give you my ultimate... Super Bowl menu. To me, ribs.
Okay.
To me, ribs.
Ribs, pulled pork.
With a sweet and spicy sauce. I like a sauce on my ribs. I'm not a dry rib guy.
No, I got it.
I like.
Like Sweet Baby James as a commercial brand?
Hell yeah. Yeah. I'll take it all day long.
Okay.
Kate, made great, unbelievable sauce. Another guy. There's another person in my life that made unbelievable sauce. Really good, great guy. And but ribs. I love my favorite kind of nacho right now. They make them in scoops. I don't know if it's Tostito, but whatever that scoop brand
is. Yeah, no, I got it.
But the multigrain ones, those, unbelievable. You got to try the multi.
Because you're healthy?
No. Going healthy on those? I just like those ones. Those are really good. Coleslaw, fantastic. Felicia's been making this thing. The guy's been going over her house and watching all the guys that play in that fantasy football.
Well, that's Craig Kimberly, that's part of it. Brian O'Connor, they're all involved with that
but
fantasy,
Felicia's
which
been
I'm
making,
not.
I'm not either. Well, Felicia's been making this thing, and she makes this huge bread, this crusty bread, soft inside. It's like looks like a big braid going down. And you can pull it apart.
I got it.
And everything.
Yeah.
And so what she'll do is she puts that out. Fresh out of the oven with some roasted red peppers, some anchovies, some pesto, some fresh ricotta. So you go up and it's like a big bread bar. What would you call it?
Call it a bread bar.
It's almost like an antipasto bar, but you smear everything onto this fresh bread out of the oven. So it's
everyone's going to want this immediately.
It's kind of brilliant because you're serving a bunch of people because it's usually 5 to 10 people there.
Yeah.
So she makes this huge bread and all the accompaniments. She just puts it all out in paper plates. You don't even have to thin it. And so everybody just kind of smears their stuff on.
And it serves
everybody. And the cleanup is not a huge mess or anything like that. And everybody loves it. It's really good. I don't know if she's ever put the recipe for this on there. It should show up in her next cookbook.
Though. Hopefully. I have a question for you, only because you put some emphasis on it in talking about it. I like anchovies.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people have difficulty with them. What's your take on it?
I love anchovies. I'm a salty guy. I like salt. I'm a salt guy. I'm not a sweet guy. I'm a salt guy. So, yeah, I'm all about the anchovies, and I'll put them on sandwiches.
There are a lot of people that just don't get it, how good they can be. You can take a slice of steak and a little slice of a tip of anchovy filet and consume them together. And if you are the most anti-anchovy guy in the world, you're going to go, holy smokes, that was fabulous.
Even anchovy paste. Like on pizza, this Sicilian style pizza is thick pizza.
Yeah, thicker crust. Yeah.
With like it's tomato sauce, but there's really no cheese. I don't think except for like this like I think it's like shaked Romano cheese on it or Parmesan cheese, not mozzarella.
Right.
And chunks of some really sharp cheese. I don't know what the cheese is and anchovies, and it is. It's something else.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that.
They make it at us. I think they make it at two places in town. I'm not sure if three, but for sure I know they make it at Sebastian's. But for sure I know they make it at Cafe Sicilia.
Well, I can tell you that some people, as I said, because they think or they have in their mindset, you know, what anchovies are, they don't enjoy them enough.
And you know where that all goes back to?
Okay.
The Jay Giles song. I'm anchovies, please.
No, I'm sure it occurred before that. But
if you're under the age of 37, you'll have no idea what that reference. Actually, probably 40, you'll have no idea what that reference meant. But for all of us older folk, you know that's all.
I get it, and I appreciate it, and I'm just saying to a lot of people, if you're not sure. There are other ways to enjoy anchovy. I mean, a classic Caesar salad should be enjoyed with some anchovy.
So we have a couple of rumors that within the next week or so we're gonna get confirmed. We're gonna get confirmed on Noni's if it's gonna be a sub shop.
Right.
Oh, another rumor to add to the stack of rumors was my sister Felicia said. That the van or truck of the people of that own Jenny Cakes next to Lucido's Barbershop has been seen in Noni's.
No, they behind there. Yeah, I've seen it parked there as well.
Well, maybe they're involved. Maybe they're not involved.
Who knows?
But you heard it here first. If they are happening to be involved, but what do they say? They're supposed to be open February 1st.
February 1st. That's what
February 1st. So you know what? If they're going to be there February 1st, total conjecture, but my guess is that is like a lease type of deal. So that would tell me that it's not going to be the owners of Noni's running.
Noni's by the Sea, whatever.
Noni's by the Sea, or whatever you want to call it. That tells me it's a lease deal that they're leasing it out to someone else to run, which would make sense if it's the people from Jenny's Cakes that are going to run.
Well, I hope whatever it is, that it's going to be very special for all of us to enjoy.
We hope it's not going to be just another sub shop. We hope it's going to be awesome, and we want to give you our money, and we want to have awesome subs close in East Gloucester that we can run down there and get them.
And rumor number two?
Rumor number two, we're going to find out soon about Pinoli. We wish all of them the best of luck.
I can tell you that. Whatever it's going to be there, I mean, I hope that Mercedes, I love her to death, Dennis Flavin's daughter, and her family, Paolo, and their kids, that if they're leaving back to go to San Francisco, good luck to them. But if they're staying here, please, everyone, embrace them and do your best to support them.
There you go. I think you couldn't have said it better. We wish everybody the best of luck. We're here to support people, not to take them down. And that's a great one. I like it, just the two of us here, this very intimate. Oh, you still got a little bit of wine left, Toby. You better get to work there. All right. For Joey Shimitar.
Take care, Joe. Toby, thank you.
Go Pats. Super Bowl, baby. Oh, we'll do a couple more podcasts. Have a good week, guys.